Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 to 22 says this: "The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." You see, in Israel, false prophets who would draw people away from God were punished for their lies and their false prophecies. In our world, however, false prophets are given massive social platforms, lots of money, and they're worshipped by the fearful and compliant masses because our society has rejected both the Lord and his holy word. We want to focus in on two such false prophets of this neo-pagan, scientist, earth-worshipping religion: Dr. Perfect Protection Fauci and Greta How Dare You Thunberg. We will listen to the Lord and reject these false prophets, because we need not be afraid of them. It's March 23rd. I'm Andrew DiBartolo, and that's Matt Halleck. This is the Liberty Dispatch.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. We're so thankful for you joining us once again, and we ask, wherever you get our content from, that you would like, subscribe, rate and review, hit that notification bell so you can stay up to date with all the content that we have going out on the various networks. One of those networks is the Fight Laugh Feast Network, FLFnetwork.com, and you can get our podcast as well as a wide variety of other wonderful podcasts over at the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and you can get them on demand on their fancy app, which you can download at the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. So we would recommend you go over there, do that, and then that way you can get all our content on your phone on demand, and it's uncancelable, so that's another bonus. Also, all things Liberty Coalition Canada are over at libertycoalitioncanada.com. Check out everything that we have going on there: our legal advocacy, our initiatives, as well as our news and analysis. It's all over at libertycoalitioncanada.com, and we'd ask that you sign up for the mailing list as well. If you would prayerfully consider, leave us a donation over there so we can continue to push back against mainstream media, legacy media lies, and we can continue to bring you the coverage that no one else is covering you. We're bringing you the receipts that no one else is bringing you, like today's show. So if you want to see false prophets fall from their great heights, and you want to be encouraged by the Word of God as we do biblical analysis of news and our culture, please, if you would, donate to what we're doing here at the LCC. You can either scan that handy QR code at the bottom of the page or go to libertycoalition.canada.com/donate. We would ask that you prayerfully consider doing that. And Andrew, if people want to reach out to us, they can reach out to us directly at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com, where you can reach out to us directly about any comments, questions, concerns regarding our news and analysis. If you want to know more about how to give and where it goes, that's giveatlibertycoalitioncanada.com. And if you need some church help, please reach out to us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com. We love to help you get plugged into a local church. So without further ado, Andrew, mailbag question for today's podcast.
So the mailbag question for today, we want to ask our listeners, what climate doomsday end of the world prediction do you remember from years gone by that has not come true? So I'm gonna throw three quick ones out, and if this is one of them, then great. You can let us know how old you were, if you remember when this happened and what you saw crazy people do, what maybe you yourself did when you were swept up in it. you know, the three things I remember being a kid and being told over and over again that the ozone layer was evaporating and we were all going to melt because the sun was going to burn us to death. And it just so happens that the Lord has created our world to operate in such a way where it regenerated and things can actually heal themselves because of God's gracious design. I remember everyone losing their minds over Y2K. And then sure enough, January 1st, 2000 rolled around and nothing changed whatsoever. And something a little more recent, I remember everyone going crazy over 2012 when, you know, the Mayan calendar only goes that far. And in reality, what they don't realize is that they only had so much stone upon which to extend their calendar. Like they ran out of room and the Mayans thought, well, we're not going to live this long anyway. So
as though we should be taking advice on the end of the world from ancient pagans. Yeah.
I mean, they got the lunar cycle right. They were able to get the lunar cycles right. But nevertheless, what's your favorite doomsday prediction that hasn't come to pass? And you can let us know, mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. And I want to echo what Matt said. Make sure you guys rock those algorithms. Please like the show, subscribe, share, comment, especially because like today's episode where we will have receipts upon receipts, you're probably not going to find this content a lot of places. A lot of places are not going to do this kind of deep dive and show you what these people are saying now, what they've done. Just as a little bit of a hint, part of our work included having to dip into the Wayback Machine and look at archived articles, but you can't find them on the internet. So if you want to inform your friends and let them know what's actually going on in the world, you want them to understand what you've come to understand and appreciate, you have to share the show and make sure that other people like and subscribe as well. So on to the action. But first, I know, and I'm sure many of you are feeling this way, that 2020 and 2021, and in many ways 2022, feel like a lifetime ago. But I remember every time I still see someone driving in their car with a mask or wiping down their shopping cart before they go buy apples, I remember a time when businesses were forcing their employees to muzzle their faces or businesses were firing people unless they could prove that they'd put an experimental jab in them. Whatever happened to workplaces being about hard work, integrity, and respecting our rights and freedoms? Friends, that's why you need to connect with Red Balloon today. If you're a Canadian business that wants solid employees who don't care about having a woke, statist, ESG-friendly workplace, then sign up at redballoon.org/LCC to post jobs for great employees. Also, they have a ton of resources for developing a non-woke HR and building a pro-freedom, uncancelable workplace. If you're a job seeker looking for a workplace that will respect your rights, freedoms, and conscience, sign up at redballoon.org/LCC to find great employers. Let's work together to make Canadian businesses cancel-proof so that we can build a solid economy together at redballoon.org/LCC. So for our episode today, full disclosure, I had a plan for what we were going to cover and I was starting to script stuff out. And then a story flashed across my social media feed and I said, it's all got to change. We need to
spin
cover
on
this.
A dime.
But all of a sudden, we got to cover this. But then I started thinking, well, if we got to cover this, we also have to cover this other story. And then I saw a theme emerge. And the theme that emerged has everything to do with the passage I read in the intro to this episode, which is that of not only doomsday predictors, but people who have been anointed by the elites as high priests and prophets for this new woke statist religion. They have said things in the past, and in the not very distant past, they've made claims and they have said things with certainty, with assurance, that are now demonstrably false, and they are trying to either gaslight us into oblivion or simply pull from their social media things they said. And so we want to be biblical, which means we call the false prophets out for their false prophecy. We show you their false prophecy, and we help to train you to spot the false prophets in the future because there are certain things you're going to be looking for. I remember last episode, Matt, you pointed out that whenever someone says it's just a little, that is the way of recognizing that
they're gaslighting you,
they're engaging in the Mott and Bailey, they're trying to simply push it as far as it can go, and then they'll pull back and retreat and keep pushing the line further and further. So we want to help you with that. We want to help you see how to recognize the false prophets and how you're supposed to act and interact as a Canadian, as a God-fearing person in our world today. So we need to look first at everyone's least favorite Italian, except for maybe this man who's recently won his eighth running title, pretending to be a woman, smashing other women. It's a close second, I think, between them. It's neck and neck, no pun intended. But everyone's least favorite Italian, the high priest and prophet of COVIDianity, this is Dr. Anthony Fauci. He would like to tell us that his views on the idea that COVID-19 did in fact originate in and was leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, you know, he's had a pretty consistent perspective on this. This is what he would like to tell us. So from his own words, just within the last week.
And I know you've supported the theory, and we were just talking about this, that the virus came from natural causes instead of a lab leak. You've said you're open to the evidence wherever it goes. Has your thinking on this evolved at all? Did you start off as, oh, no, it's definitely natural causes, and now you're thinking, well, maybe it might be a lab leak?
You know, Jim, I've kept an open mind throughout the entire process. What has changed over months to a year or more is what I mentioned a bit ago, namely that as evolutionary virologists went into this deeper and deeper and analyzed it from a number of standpoints, epidemiologically, virologically, geospatially, they wrote two very important, well-written, peer-reviewed papers in Science magazine strongly suggesting that in fact it was a natural occurrence from an animal to a human. But strongly suggesting, Jim, doesn't nail it down definitively. And that's the reason why I say to this day, I will keep a completely open mind as to what the origin is.
I've seen that clip about 20 times today, and I still did this, and I still twisted my neck a little bit, like,
who is this man?
That is fifth degree black belt level gaslighting. That's what that is. He's always had an open mind, he says. He'll go where the science and the evidence leads, he says. What has Fauci really said about the lab leak theory in the last 3 years? That's what we want. These are the receipts we want to give you, because he and the legacy media assume that you're either stupid or that you have a short memory or that you don't have Canadian bulldogs with really nice beards located in Kingston and in Winnipeg that won't do the work for you to sniff out the lies and track it down. So how about we look at this interview? This was from May in 2020. This was when National Geographic did a worship piece on Fauci, because very quickly he was anointed as the great high priest and prophet for COVIDianity. So this is from May of 2020, almost 3 years ago now.
I mean, do you believe, or is there evidence that SARS-CoV-2 was made in a lab in China or accidentally released from a lab in China?
Well, you know, there's two issues. If you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, it's very, very strongly leaning towards this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated, the way the mutations have naturally evolved. A number of very qualified evolutionary biologists have said that everything about the stepwise evolution over time strongly indicates that evolved in nature and then jumped species. One of the issues of saying, could that virus that was in, first of all, if you accept the premise, which is very strongly supported by scientific evidence, that it was not deliberately mutated and deliberately changed, and you say, if it was in the wild and evolving, the likelihood it jumped species naturally. Someone will say, well, maybe somebody took it from the wild, put it in the lab, and then it escaped from the lab. But that means it was in the wild to begin with. So that's why I don't get what they're talking about. If it isn't manipulated in the lab, and you're trying to say it escaped from the lab, then how did it get in the lab? It got in the lab because somebody isolated it from the environment. So that's the reason why I don't spend a lot of time going in that circular argument.
So that was a long way of him saying, and by his tone, laughing and basically saying, that's a stupid idea. It's a stupid idea that it originated from. I've spent a lot of time with that stupid, crazy talk because one way or another, it came from nature. So that, no. It's basically said, no, not from a lab. That's basically what he said.
Yeah. And essentially that argument that he's making there is a convoluted straw man. I mean, maybe some people are making that argument because they didn't have direct evidence that it was manipulated and generated in the lab. But more and more, that is undeniably what it looks like occurred. So, again, a red herring, straw men. But you can see the scorn and the distaste that he has for anybody who would put across such an absurd theory as that.
Well, I don't want to tip our hand too much, but I'll say at this point, that what we're going to show you very soon is that he, in fact, not only had evidence that it did originate from lab manipulation, but that he tried to squash it. So just what you saw was an insincere mockery of the truth because the truth makes him look bad. So that's one clip. How about this clip? This is from a PBS special on Dr. Fauci in their American Masters series, because Fauci is the American master of gaslighting and and obfuscation.
I'm sure that's why they put him in.
Exactly. They followed him for a couple years, and over the course of a couple years in worshiping their high priest, they put out this special. So again, the question, could the virus have been manipulated, Dr. Fauci?
There is a number of experiments that need to be done on viruses. How are you going to know whether or not they're capable of infecting humans unless you examine them? Which means doing something under certain circumstances that make a pathogen more transmissible or more pathogenic, which some people refer to as gain of function.
They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
Rand Paul was insidiously throwing into his little questions that the work that was done in the Wuhan lab, funded by a small grant from NIH, a strong implication that created a virus that made COVID. I have 10,000 grants throughout the world. What they've done is that they've looked at various grants and they make something of it that it isn't. The microbe they were working on not only was not SARS-CoV-2, it would be molecularly impossible for them to turn it into SARS-CoV-2. They were so different. It's kind of like you have a Chevrolet and you got a motorcycle. And you say, I want to make that Chevrolet into the motorcycle. No matter what you do to that Chevrolet, you're not going to make it into a motorcycle. Like, what are you talking about?
Great question. What are you talking about? Now, again, listen to the answer. His answer to, could it have been manipulated in a lab? And even the score, and some people call it gain of function. His answer was, it is molecularly impossible. Did you catch that? Molecularly impossible. Now, I highlight that clip to his kind of joking, like, this is such a big joke to him. Who would say such a stupid thing? He makes light of it. That's not the only time he makes light of it. This is a clip from another interview where Fauci was ridiculing the lab leak story with this satirical origin story of his own to highlight just how absurd the concept that this thing could have originated in some lab. Let's see what the High Priest Fauci has to say here.
We're at the epicenter of the initial outbreak. WA1, Washington 1, is considered the ancestral model strain.
I developed the ancestral model strain.
I created it.
That's right. You let it loose.
I was in my kitchen.
You let it loose. Yeah. Right. Okay. Gain of function. Here we come. Right. You're making arancia, many Italian meatballs, and that's a gain of function.
Yeah, he's so laughing
blithely
that's right.
Laughing. Yeah.
He's laughing because, right, gain of function. Here we go. And that was it. Now, here's the question. So we saw the first clip from Fauci, which was this last week. I've always maintained an open mind. I'm following the evidence. Now, I ask you, objectively, you look at those three clips. Does that look like someone with an open mind who's following the science and the evidence? Is that what that looks like? Or does that look like someone who's mocking the idea or who's publicly trying to mock diminish what's the word? So it's not credible. It's incredible. Yeah. There's no credibility at all. The idea that this thing could have originated and been manipulated in a lab. Now, some people might say to us, those clips were taken out of context. You dice them and splice them. To which I'll say, first of all, we put the links to the full clips. You can see for yourself. We're certainly not manipulating anything the way that Fauci manipulated things and the way that they did at the Wuhan lab.
It must be noted that YouTube and various other big tech censorship programs were canceling people and suspending people. Even us recently, just for going through a Wall Street Journal article, this won't be up on YouTube, obviously, because we'll get canceled and probably kicked off of the platform finally. They are still censoring those people for putting forward the idea of a lab leak theory based off of what? Government directives, based off of the fact that they didn't want harmful mis and disinformation, so-called, to get out to the public as was put forward by Fauci and other public health officials across the world. So that needs to be pointed out too. So not only is he mocking and deriding it, but his organization's actively working to suppress the idea that could possibly be a theory, right, Andrew? So anyways, continue on.
So so the clips might be taken out of context, whatever. Fine. How about Fauci's own words in context when dealing with squashing the lab leak theory with then National Institute of Health President Francis Collins? Now, I'll say just here, we need to at some point, and we plan on, and we're going to bring on a couple guests as well, we're going to do a little bit of a deeper dive into BioLogos, and we're going to highlight the nature of these, what I'm going to come right out and say it, these false professing Christians who are pushing an evil demonic agenda, and they're trying to deceive believers under the guise of this is Christ-like. And Francis Collins is one of those men. So here he is, him and Fauci. Okay, here's the setup. Early in 2020, very early in 2020, scientists who are aware of what's going on, right? These aren't just Joe Blow scientists. These are people working, whether it's at the Wuhan lab or in high levels of these agencies. They sent information to Dr. Collins and Dr. Fauci. Now, this is a story from the New York Post, and we have the links here, and it's included in a congressional document that was submitted just this past March the 5th as they're showcasing what actually went on. So, quote, these are the scientists reaching out to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins talking about COVID-19. He, that's another scientist, is bothered by the Fahrenheit and has a hard time explaining that as an event outside the lab, though there are possible ways in nature, but highly unlikely. So, given above, a likely explanation could be something as simple as passage SARS-CoV COVID in tissue culture on human cell lines for an extended period of time, accidentally creating a virus that would be primed for rapid transmission between humans via gain of Fahrenheit from tissue culture and adaptation to human ACE2 receptor via repeated passage. So in another email, again, from these scientists to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins, I really can't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get from the bat virus or one very similar to it, to nCoV, where you insert exactly 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotide that all have to be added at the exact same time to gain this function. That, and you don't change any other amino acid in S2, I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature. Again, this is early in 2020. Scientists are saying the best explanation is that this thing was edited in a lab. It was manufactured. It was put together because it's so perfect. There's no other way. Here they're saying there's no other way that this could have happened in nature on its own. It had to have been engineered. So Fauci and Collins knew about this early in 2020.
And look at the language used by these scientists. Gain of fern sites, so something that doesn't naturally occur in nature. That's what's happened. And literally gained this function. So when Fauci is laughing off the idea of gain of function research being a possible likely scenario of creating this virus, he knew about this. He knew there was questions. He knew there was red flags, and he dismissed them and laughed them off. The congressional document continues, Andrew. On February 1st, 2020, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Francis Collins, and at least 11 other scientists convened a conference call to discuss COVID-19. It was on this conference call that doctors Fauci and Collins were first warned that COVID-19 may have leaked from a lab in Wuhan, China, and further may have been intentionally genetically manipulated, something that he laughed off as absurd. Only 3 days later, on February 4th, 2020, right? This is before the pandemic has exploded. 4 participants of the conference call authored a paper entitled The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2. So before you knew COVID-19 was a thing, this was going on. And guess what? They sent a draft to Drs. Fauci and Collins. Prior to the final publication in Nature Medicine, the paper was sent to Dr. Fauci for editing and approval. On April 16th, 2020, slightly more than 2 months after the original conference call, Dr. Collins emailed Dr. Fauci expressing dismay that proximal origin, which they saw prior to publication and were given the opportunity to edit, did not squash the lab leak hypothesis, and asks if the NIH can do more to quote unquote put down the lab leak hypothesis. The very next day, after Dr. Collins explicitly asked for more public pressure, Dr. Fauci cited proximal origin from the White House podium when asked if COVID-19 leaked from a lab. New evidence released by the Select Subcommittee today suggests that Dr. Fauci prompted the drafting of a publication that would disprove, quote-unquote, the lab leak theory. The authors of this paper skewed available evidence to achieve that goal. Here is an email sent from Francis Collins, the supposed Christian, head of BioLogos, Tim Keller, all those Christian ministers implicated, to Anthony Fauci on April 16th, 2020. Wondering if there is something NIH can do to help put down this very destructive conspiracy with what seems to be growing momentum. I hope that Nature Medicine article on the genomic sequence of SARS-CoV-2 would settle this, but probably didn't get much visibility. Anything more we can do? Ask the National Academy to weigh in? This was how Fauci, Mr. the Science, following the evidence with an open mind, responded. I would not do anything about this right now. It's a shiny object. and it will go away in time. So that's when given this red flag, when shown that this is a possibility, Dr. Fauci not only did not have an open mind, Andrew, but he did everything in his power to squash said theory, or when it was gathering steam, don't touch it in hopes that it will go away. Does that sound like reasonable, responsible science coming from Saint Anthony Fauci, the truth teller?
This is one of the greatest scandals of our lifetime.
Yes.
This is without a doubt. Like we cannot overstate this. So
no.
It's just to summarize what Matt just read from us, which the Congressional Committee has submitted. On February 1st, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins are in a conference call where they're told that it seems that the virus originated in a lab. This is also after they have both received emails saying that there's no way it occurred naturally. 3 days later, they commission a paper saying the thing originated in nature. 2 months after the fact, it's not gaining the steam that it wants. So Collins writes Fauci an email saying, listen, this lab leak theory isn't going away. We're trying to squash it. It's not going away. The next day, Fauci cites that very same paper that was commissioned 2 weeks prior to try to squash it. And his response to Collins was, don't worry. This is all going to blow over. This is crazy. This is the cover up is awesome. Greatest standards,
yeah,
of our life.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is unbelievable. So everything he said on all those video clips, that was all a lie.
Yeah,
he
a smokescreen.
From February 1st, he knew what was going on. So this we're going to bring it all back down here. Fauci is a false prophet. Mm-hmm. He is a liar and he is a flip-flopper. And not only has he been rewarded by being the highest paid government official in U.S. history, mm-hmm. to the tune of about $500,000 a year, but this man, this evil, lying, corrupt man who would dare say he does what he does for the sake of public health and safety, even though, I mean, the scandals go layers deep. The reality
all the way
is
back to AIDS.
And not only that, Fauci has patents. There are patents in his name for both SARS-CoV-2 and the COVID injection, that there's a way that he personally benefits from the virus and from the distribution of the experimental gene therapy injection. So there are layers upon layers of deep, mm-hmm. deep corruption. But this false prophet still expects that we would listen to him, and even more asinine, that we would trust him. Watch this clip.
And on this theory of a lab leak, I've been wondering this. Do we have any idea how that would even work? Have you heard any accounts as to how that might have happened? Is there speculation in the scientific community as to how that happened?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Jim. So one of the things that people maybe don't fully appreciate, that all of the intelligence agencies agree unanimously that this was not engineered. Namely, they didn't deliberately do this to make a bioweapon. Everybody agrees with that. No matter what your prior thoughts were, everybody agrees with that. A lab leak could be that someone was out in the wild, maybe looking for different types of viruses in bats, got infected, went into a lab, and was being studied in the lab, and then it came out of the lab. But if that's the definition of a lab leak, Jim, then that still is a natural occurrence. The other possibility is someone takes a virus from the environment that doesn't actually spread very well in humans and manipulates it a bit, and accidentally it escapes or accidentally infects someone, and then you get an outbreak. Those are the possibilities when you're talking about lab leaks.
But are there any accounts of that occurring where one might say, okay, well, there we go. Perhaps this is it. This is what happened.
No.
That you're aware of.
In fact, there are no lab leaks that have led to pandemics. So there have been accidents in a lab that happens intermittently. We've had experiences with that in modern times recently.
But there have never been a situation where a virus escaped from a lab that's a brand new virus that no one has ever seen before that led to a pandemic. That has not happened.
Until apparently September of 2019.
Right. So just so everyone knows, that video is the same clip, is a part of the same clip we showed in the first video. So this was just within the last week or so. So this is what's wild here. This is what we know now, and there's no more speculation. This is what we know at this point on March 23rd, 2023. We know that this thing was made, engineered in a lab, and it leaked from the lab at the very least. And
whether it was maleficent or not, yeah.
See, now hold on. I'm going to get to that because now everything's up, right? Now it's all fair game, and it's all fair game for this reason. He's been lying about the origin of it, the manipulation of it, and the gain of function. He's been lying, even though he's known about it from the very beginning. He's been lying about that. We also know that he did, and we've covered this as well. You can go to previous episodes. He's been lying the whole time about masks. The whole time about masks. He has also been lying the whole time about the jab. When Pfizer did not test it for its effectiveness in stopping transmission, he was saying that it makes you a dead end. He was asserting that you get it, you'll protect everyone. So he's been lying about the origin. He's been lying about the lab leak. He's been lying about the masks. He's been lying about the jabs. He's been lying about everything. So now he says, one, well, it wasn't intentionally leaked. Why should I believe him? Why should I believe him when he says it wasn't? Now, here's the other. So that's terrifying. That he's saying, oh, well, okay, whatever, maybe it was from a lab, but even still, he's saying, yeah, but it was still natural, whatever. But he's like, but it certainly wasn't released intentionally. I can't believe him. Now, even more terrifying than that, though, is the very last thing where he said, but you can trust me on this. It's never been the case that any virus or pandemic we've ever experienced before, none of them have ever come from a lab. I also can't believe him anymore. He might be lying about his own credibility.
Yeah, no, exactly. And just regardless of what you might think there, of whether you trust him on that end, it doesn't preclude the fact that it could happen. Everybody understands it absolutely could happen, and it's looking more and more like the strongest evidence that we have is it did happen, and it happened through gain of function. That virus, whether accidentally or on purpose, got out and it spread across this world. And if you're accepting his numbers, if you're accepting just the government narrative, it's killed millions and millions and millions of people worldwide. And that's what, Andrew, I think makes it so galling to hear him just blithely laugh this all off.
Right.
To laugh about this, to obfuscate.
When I was making a pasta sauce.
When I was making a meatball. You know,
what,
like,
an evil, despicable man.
Absolutely. And that's why we've been saying on the show that men like Anthony Fauci should stand trial for what they've done. Because even if you want to say he was just ignorant about all these stuff. He was criminally negligent in the role that he was given. If Pfizer can say they didn't actually have evidence that this stopped their vaccine stopped transmission from clinical trials, if he's out there promoting that false misinformation, if anybody in our country, in the world, is going to know about whether or not they actually tested that, it ought to be him. He's literally been dictating policy for millions and millions of people that goes outside of just the borders of the United States, given their influence. But he's not doing his research. Even that, if you just don't want to say he was purposely doing this, that's criminal negligence. That's insanity.
This is so terrifying about this, Matt, is... Mm. How do we know that this is the only time? So this is what I mean. I'm not saying that we definitively know that everything in the past has been this way, but we can't. But what I am saying now is H1N1, this is up for grabs. That could have been the same thing. SARS, could have been the case that, again, not that it was released, but it could be the case that they told us it was naturally occurring. It could, that's all up for grabs now. They all could have been manipulated in a lab. They all could have been, and that he's known about it for 40 years. And that the same way that he fumbled all of these other viruses, it could have been negligence, which is still terrible, or it could have been he was given the information and there was still lies and manipulation. The difference is now, because of social media and because of everyone's access to information, it all comes out in the open. It's truly despicable stuff. The last clip we want to show is all the way back to that National Geographic interview where, in glorious, ironic fashion, here you have Fauci, and he's going to say some things. Maybe he doesn't fully realize that they apply to him, that he is putting the target right in the middle of his forehead. And we look at this now knowing that he's like Nathan with David, you're the man, Fauci, you're the man. And he's actually being prophetic against himself. Let's show this last clip.
What's your advice to the public at large for sifting through the headlines and making sense of it all?
Yeah, for the general public, it's really tough because anybody can claim to be an expert even when they have no idea what they're talking about. And it's very difficult for the general public to distinguish. But I think one of the things you need to do is see if it's coming from a reputable organization that generally gives you the truth. Even from some reputable organizations, you occasionally get an outlier who's out there talking nonsense.
So notice what he presupposes in that comment is he is the guardian of the truth. Because if he can say even reputable sources might jump on something like, let's say, a lab leak theory, they're spinning nonsense because it's not what I told you. I'm the science. I'm the gatekeeper of truth. I'm the high priest, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the speaker of truth and all things science. Therefore, who can you really trust to make sense of this? Me. That's ultimately what he's saying. But and the reality is...
That is the way the false prophet works, though.
Yes.
This is the tie-in, that the false prophet will say... And we see this in the scriptures over and over again, that the false prophets will everything will be fine. You're going to win the war. Don't worry. Everything's great. And then you'll have the prophet of the Lord come in and say, no, let me tell you what's really going on. And what will the false prophet say? No, don't listen to him. Listen to us. We have the right prophecy. We're actually telling you what is. Mm-hmm. And this is how the false prophet operates. This is how the false high priest operates. And Fauci might not face the justice that he deserves in this life. He might not receive the kind of justice that a false prophet should, because in his case, whether it's negligence or intentionality, and I'm more inclined to say intentionality, because he has also profited financially tremendously, either way, he is to be tried and justly punished for either his negligence or his intentional destruction of countless lives. So he might not get that in this life. But the only hope that I have, the only comfort to my soul, is that the judge of all the earth will do what is right. And unless that man turns from his sins to trust in Christ, in which case, I mean, if he's repented and the Lord has forgiven him, then his sins have been dealt with because Jesus absorbed them. But if that does not happen, he will stand before the King of the universe someday, and he will pay in full for his sins and for his crimes for all eternity. And in that truth, my soul is comforted, because in this life, he might ride off into the sunset and continue to, like David bemoans in the Psalms, why do the wicked prosper? Why do the God-haters do well? The only hope is knowing that at the end of the day, God will do what is just and what is right, even though that false prophet deserves his just punishment today.
And if he were to repent, one would hope that he would come clean of his sins and take the horizontal punishment that is rightfully due him, knowing that he had eternal hope in Christ. That would be honorable, but I doubt we're going to see that with Dr. Fauci. Nothing's impossible for God. His arm is not too short, but bad stuff, Andrew. This is amazing stuff. Like this is probably the biggest story, like you've said, that could fall in any journalist's lap. But
this is one of the top three greatest scandals in our life. In my life, 9/11 is obviously a watershed milestone moment, and everything surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
9/11 was a crazy event, and everything changed after 9/11. Everything has changed mm-hmm. since then. Yeah. This story, the last 3 years, and this cover-up, this corruption, this might be the most scandalous story, the most corrupt thing we have seen quite possibly in our entire lives. This is a big deal. And so quick takeaways. One, when someone asserts, no, I have the corner, like you said, Matt, I have the corner on truth. I have the corner on science. Trust me, everyone else is lying to you. That's a good sign you're dealing with a false prophet or a false high priest or a cult leader who's trying to manipulate you and prevent you from doing your own thinking. That's a big lesson to be learned from the great false prophet and high priest of COVIDianity, Dr. The Science Fauci himself. Oh boy. Well, it's no surprise to anyone that our federal government's response to economic difficulties is to print money until it's worthless, driving up the cost of everything, essentially stealing from your hard-earned pay. They also want to monitor your spending by way of centralized digital currency. And spoiler alert, the Federal Reserve has just announced that their central bank digital currency trial will begin this July. So we just wanted to throw that out. We're going to be dealing with that in the next number of weeks. But it's coming, boys. It's coming. They also want to control you by way of digital ID. So what you need is to take control of your own resources and be responsible for your own money. Bull Bitcoin wants to help you do just that. Bull Bitcoin is a 100% self-funded, freedom-minded Canadian Bitcoin exchange that wants to protect your financial freedom and help you protect your resources. If you're at all aware of what's going on in our country, you should consider connecting with my friends over at Bull Bitcoin. You can sign up today, mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. Have all of your questions answered. Again, that's mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC.
Well, Andrew, Dr. Fauci is not alone in being a false prophet whom we ought to reject with impunity. And that leads us into our second story. So, in keeping on that theme of false prophecies, it appears that the poster child for environmentalism, the great high priestess of doomsday environmental cult, one Greta Thunberg, when she is not busy staging arrest videos and photos at certain protests, she's busy retconning history. On Saturday, this comes to us from the Post Millennial, Jack Posobiec, an ex-military conservative commentator, posted a screenshot of a now-deleted 2018 tweet from Greta Thunberg, which linked to an article predicting humans would go extinct by, get this, 2023 due to climate change. The 2018 tweet read as follows. A top climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. The tweet shared a link to an article from the now defunct socialist news organization Grit Post, which, thanks to the Wayback Machine and Andrew's wonderful research, we were able to locate, and we will provide in the link in the description below. The article continues to read, a top scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop fossil fuels over the next 5 years. James Anderson, a professor of atmospheric chemistry at Harvard University, that vaunted once great institution, started off as a Christian institution, lost its way very quickly. Nevertheless, Harvard University, he warned, that is James Anderson, warned that climate change is drastically pushing the Earth back to the Eocene epoch from 33 million BCE, when there was no ice on either pole. Anderson says current pollution levels have already catastrophically depleted atmospheric ozone levels, which absorb 98% of ultraviolet rays to levels not seen in 12 million years. Who would believe anybody who believes that fairy tale? Anyways, continuing, Anderson also chastised the current governmental approaches to climate change as woefully and utterly insufficient to stop the extinction of humanity by way of rapidly changing climate. Instead, Anderson is calling for a Marshall Plan style endeavor in which all of the world takes extreme measures to transition off of fossil fuels completely within the next 5 years. Recovery is all but impossible, he argued, without a World War II style transformation of industry, an acceleration of the effort to halt carbon pollution and remove it from the atmosphere, and a new effort to reflect sunlight away from the Earth's poles. Anderson's dire predictions continued when he stated, now get this, this is the real kicker, the chance that there will be any permanent ice left in the Arctic after 2022 is essentially zero. Zero. With 75 to 80% of the permanent ice having melted already in the last 35 years. Can we lose 75 to 80% of permanent ice and recover? The answer is no. Wow. Given such great predictions, Anderson then went on to berate governments for not doing enough, Andrew, to do what? To stop mis and disinformation surrounding climate change. So here you have a supposed expert, a Harvard man, making bold predictions about the end of the world and governments need to drastically intervene to create a warlike economy managed and controlled by special elites who have a secret Gnostic knowledge of what's going on so that we can save the planet. So the question is, Andrew, were the predictions correct? Did what Anderson say come true? We're currently here in the year of our Lord, 2023, supposedly the year it was all supposed to end. Is there still permanent life in or ice in the Arctic? Are we about to die? What do you make of this?
Well, I will say this. If there was no more ice left in the poles, we'd certainly hear about it. The doomsdayers would tell us all about it. I remember reading an article maybe 3 or 4 years ago, actually from NASA's website, and it was saying that given their thermal imaging, they show a higher amount of ice at the poles than they would have anticipated just 10 years prior. And the same article went on to say that it appears that our world will be entering a 50-year cooling period, which will then be followed by, you know, a 100-year melting period where we all die from global warming. But what was amazing was NASA said, yeah, there's more ice at the poles than we thought there'd be. Oh, and it looks like it's going to be kind of cold for the next half century. Now, Matt, I mean, this is nothing new. This is nothing new.
No, nope, nothing new under the sun, buddy.
Yeah, the environmentalist cult has been peddling this eco-apocalyptic prediction, I mean, for forever. There are articles, you can just go, if you just go Google crazy climate doomsday apocalypse predictions for the last 100 years, you will see some of the most insane things you could ever imagine. Now, a lot of this catastrophic nonsense is rooted in Malthusianism. And if you're not familiar with what that is, essentially, it's a theory which supposed that there's going to be an eventual population bomb, in the words of Paul Ehrlich. This idea that population growth is exponential, while food production is linear. So we're going to have more people than there is food, and this will be catastrophic. This will spur the end of the world as we know it. Now, this theory occupied the minds of globalist elites throughout the late 19th and early 20th century, and it was popularized in mainstream by progressives and hippies, right, the environmental flower children, in the 60s and the 70s. Now, here's just a few predictions that were made at the time. And again, if you Google crazy climate predictions that didn't happen in the last 100 years, some of the stuff that will come your way is utterly shocking. So I think I've just,
we'll provide receipts in the description below. So then this, you have them all in one spot where you can show your crazy environmentalist friend.
Yes.
So yeah. we like to do the work for you.
Who continues to drink through a paper straw while at the same time going to Starbucks where all of their pastries and sandwiches are individually wrapped in plastic. But never you mind the wokies. So I think I boiled it down to 8. So number one, Harvard biologist George Wald estimated that civilization will end within 15 or 30 years. So this is either by 1985 or 2000, unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind. Now, for anyone who's not a mathematician, it's the year 2023, which means it's 23 years since it was supposed to be over. We're still here. Number two, population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make, Paul Ehrlich confidently declared in the April 1970 issue of Mademoiselle. He continues, the death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people per year will be starving to death during the next 10 years by 1980. Also not true.
That's the population, Bob.
there is one thing that I will say, though, that because of the lockdowns and the shutting down of economies in the last 3 years, we have actually seen a substantial increase in starvation and poverty, but that's not because of population growth. We've actually seen, and the United Nations Food Program was estimating this, and we've seen the evidence of this, mm-hmm. is that the number of kids who have been plunged into both poverty and starvation has doubled by the hundreds of millions, but not because of population, but because of tyrannical government mandates and overreach. So his
not
his
unlike what Anderson calls for.
yeah. So he was right, but right for the wrong reasons. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number three, most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of man have already been born, wrote Paul Ehrlich in a 1969 essay titled Eco Catastrophe. That sounds like a really terrible B-rated movie where everything is animatronics. Anyways, by 1975, some experts feel that food shortages will have escalated the present level of world hunger and starvation into famines of unbelievable proportions. Other experts, more optimistic, think the ultimate food population collision will not occur until the decade of the 1980s. We'll also note that because of the incredible influence of both capitalism and the advancement of technology, we have lower numbers of poverty and starvation and food need essentially in 100 years. So, wrong. Okay.
Well, having more people than ever.
Yes, that's what, yeah. The ratio, it's unbelievable how wrong. Yeah. So
it turns out food production isn't linear. Sorry, Malthus. Anyways, continue, right. Andrew.
It turns out that God has made a world to operate in such a way that when he says, be fruitful and multiply, it's almost like he's provided an earth that's able to account for population growth. so that people can continue to produce and take dominion and do beautiful things with the planet that the Lord has given us. Anyways, number four, Ehrlich sketched out his most alarmist scenario for the 1970 Earth Day issue of The Progressive, assuring readers that between 1980 and 1989, I was born in that time, some 4 billion people, including 65 million Americans, would perish in the Great Die-Off. Now, he was wrong by a couple decades, because the Great Die-Off is the number of people who are dying suddenly from myocarditis and blood clots because of the COVID injection. But again, right for the wrong reasons. We continue. In January 1970, Life reported, quote, scientists have solid experimental and theoretical evidence to support the following predictions. They always love that. Scientists, they are solid experimental and theoretical evidence to support what? In a decade, so it's by 1980, urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive air pollution. By 1985, air pollution will have reduced the amount of sunlight reaching Earth by one half. Interestingly enough, it's 2023 and air quality is as good as it's ever been because the free market and technology has made it such that cars are burning fuel cleaner and more efficiently than ever. And again, he's right for the wrong reasons, because you did have people walking around everywhere wearing masks, but not because of pollution and not because of an actual virus, but because of government tyranny and mandates. Number six, Paul Ehrlich chimed in, predicting in the 1970s that air pollution is certainly going to take hundreds of thousands of lives in the next few years alone. He sketched a scenario in which 200,000 Americans would die in 1973 during smog disasters in New York and LA. And I'll say again, anecdotally, I remember smog warnings and smog alerts growing up in Toronto and bad air quality. I don't really hear a lot about that anymore. Again, it's because the free market and industrialism has made it so that fossil fuels are being burned more efficiently and cleaner than ever before. So they were wrong. Number seven, Paul Ehrlich warned in May 1970 that DDT and other chlorinated hydrocarbons, quote, may have substantially reduced the life expectancy of people born since 1945. Ehrlich warned that Americans born since 1946 now had a life expectancy of only 49 years, and he predicted that if current patterns continued, this expectancy would reach 42 years by 1980, when it might level out. To note, according to the most recent CDC report, life expectancy in the U.S. is 78.6 years. And finally, number eight, Kenneth Watt warned about a pending ice age in a speech. He says, quote, the world has been chilling sharply for about 20 years. He declared, if present trends continue, the world will be about 4 degrees colder for the global mean temperature in 1990, but 11 degrees colder in the year 2000. These guys can't make up their mind. Is it colder? Is it hotter? This is about twice what it would take to push us to an ice age, i.e. he's saying that by the year 2000, we should be in another ice age. I don't know if you noticed this 23 years ago. It did not. Now, how accurate were the predictions? You asked Matt not that long ago. The simple answer is it's about as accurate as science journalist Ronald Bailey has stated. The prophets of doom were not simply wrong. They were spectacularly wrong, completely wrong, utterly wrong, false prophets abounding in this eco-status, scientist, woke, globalist, enviro-fascistic religion. Very wrong. All the way wrong.
And the crazy part, it's just like crazy Christian doomsdayer prophets and dispensationalists. No matter how many times they get the prophecies wrong, they still just keep coming out with them over and over and over and over and over again. And there was a lot of Paul Ehrlich in there. And maybe people are wondering, oh, why are you guys picking on Ehrlich so much? Well, he's still out there. He's still alive. And he's still making predictions of climate catastrophe, despite what's going on in the fact that we're showing you so many receipts of what he got wrong. His book, The Population Bomb, entitled that, which is Malthusian to the core, was a bestseller. He appeared on Johnny Carson, popularized these Malthusian theories. He was the scientist of the day, much like Anthony Fauci of our day. And the fact of the matter is, he was disastrously wrong. Every single prediction he made could not have been more wrong. Yet, get this. This is how influential the book was. My wife graduated from with a master's degree from the National Resource Institute of the University of Manitoba. Do you know when that was started? It was started in the 70s after a group of eco-scientists got together after reading Paul Ehrlich's Population Bomb. There's institutions publicly funded across our nation. Earth Day, this new religious holiday, is in every school celebrated, and it was celebrated when I attended school. I know when you attended school, Andrew. These were instituted based off of these false environmental cultists and their false predictions. That's why this matters. And it's continuing to this day. They're calling for a wartime transformation of our society.
Yeah. If you want a good laugh, if you want to have a good chuckle, just go watch An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore.
Yeah, exactly.
And ask yourself the question, how is this man still allowed to speak at the WEF telling us about what we need to do in order to save the environment? So wrong. Very wrong. Very wrong. But do you know who's not wrong? And do you know who I quite like and appreciate? Well, that's our friends over at RockLink Investment Partners.
Indeed.
10 years ago, most banks were closed on Sunday and were supportive of the biblical family. Today, they're celebrating everything but God's plan for marriage. The shift has been monumental. It's time we stopped enabling the funding of woke financial institutions by entrusting the Lord's money to them. While they still have a monopoly on bank accounts, you don't have to let them profit off your investment accounts while they push their atheistic agendas. Instead, you can call a privately owned, Christian-run portfolio management firm. Call RockLink Investment Partners. They will build high-quality investment portfolios for you while providing you with personalized service without the woke. Again, you can head over there. You can sit down for a coffee. You can talk about how evil the WEF is, enjoy a robust theological discussion with like-minded people. I don't know a single financial institution or anyone who rolls in these circles that you can do that with. So email RockLink at info@rocklink.com or visit them at www.rocklink.com. That's link with a C.
Well, Andrew, so given the backlash, given the false prophecies, everything that we just, all the receipts that we showed, given the fact that Greta herself is retconning history to try and silently downplay her false predictions, I'm sure Christians would not go along with Greta and her crazy climate conspiracies, especially given her radical environmentalist activism, her apparent communist sympathies and leanings. Given all this rotten fruit, Andrew, no Christian or Christian institution could possibly support her or, let alone, God forbid, Andrew, celebrate her.
Well,
right?
you would think that, right?
Tell me I'm right, Andrew.
Well, so you would think that, and you're right only if you believe that these evangelical, spiritually dead, false professing institutions did actually find themselves full of Christ-honoring people. So you would be right, but the reality is that you are wrong on both accounts, my friend. So not only, and we've seen this. We've seen this. I saw this leading up to the first election of Prime Minister Trudeau, the number of Christians that were trying to say he's the man for us because he cares about social justice and he cares about climate change. And these were useful idiots that were pushing a socialist agenda without realizing it. So not only do we have so many so-called Christians who are buying into the climate hysteria, it turns out that, get this, the University of Helsinki has awarded her an honorary doctorate in theology. Now, this isn't just, oh, that's really weird. This is surprisingly fitting without realizing it. This is all those instances in the scriptures where people would say things not realizing that they're being accidentally prophetic.
They're saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. And not only that, but they don't realize that what they're actually saying is correct without realizing that it's correct. So proving once and for all, giving her this honorary doctorate in theology, it proves once and for all what we've been saying without them realizing it, is that this climate cult's a religion. It is a religion. And people are prophets and priests and zealots. They have their holy books and their catechisms, and mm-hmm. they are proselytizing and they are pushing their beliefs strongly. So Helsinki's in Finland, right? Now, let's talk about Finland just for a second. If you stand firm on the biblical doctrine of creation and sexuality in Finland, you might be thrown in jail, which, again, we have the receipts, like for Finnish MP Dr. Pavi Rosnan. But if you're the poster child for a communal fascistic environmental revolution, you get rewarded with a PhD in theology because, again, they need to canonize their saints and they need to anoint and appoint their high priests and false prophets. And what better way by giving them honorary doctorates in theology? Because, again, if anyone knows about the God of the enviro-status scientist religion, mm-hmm. it's Greta Thunberg. She knows all about that God.
Absolutely. It's time to remove that blue cross from your flag on the white background, dear Finnish friends, and put just Gaia, Mother Earth, on there with maybe Greta Thunberg lifting it up, right? Like that's essentially what they ought to do if they're being honest.
Yeah, like Hinduism, the historic belief of Hinduism is that the earth is being held up by an elephant who's standing on the back of a tortoise. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, the earth is being held up by Greta Thunberg
on the back of Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe on the back of Anthony Fauci. Maybe not, but no, it's like Al Gore.
That's a shirt. Like
Al Gore's the tortoise, and Greta Thunberg's the elephant holding up the earth.
Oh, man. We have to make that shirt. We have to make that.
So many shirts. We're going to have to go through these shows and think of all the different ideas we have for shirts.
We'll just pay people to think of all these ideas. Lest anybody think we're exaggerating, we've said forever and ever and ever, Andrew, that this climate catastrophism is a cult. It's a religious cult. These people are cult worshipers. They're pagans to the core. We were right. And they're at least being honest about it. Mm-hmm. We didn't exaggerate, Andrew, when we said the culture war is a proxy war for a religious war. We're not lying to say at root of all this stuff that's going on is the installation of a new cult, communo-fascistic environmentalist regime that has three legs to the three-legged stool, private, public partnership, along with faith communities. And this is what we're seeing is the installation publicly of a new cult religion. And we weren't being hyperbolic in when we were saying that. And as disgusting and inane and stupid as it is that the University of Helsinki is giving this child a doctorate in theology for her climate activism, at least it's honest. At least they're being honest. Mm-hmm. And that is apparently hard to do nowadays, as we've seen throughout these clips. And I just want to say, Andrew, before I turn it over to you, we need to apply the scripture in our lives. And I'm thankful that the text that you cited at the start of the episode, Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22, we're pastors, you're a pastor, we're Christians, we exposit the scripture. Sometimes it's hard. You got to think through how you're going to make application. In this case, it's wonderful. The application's in the text for us. And it says this, "And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?" God tells you, this is how you apply what I've just said about getting rid of false prophets. "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord does not, and if the word does not come to pass, or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. That's the application for today. Don't be afraid of these. Know people by their fruits. Christ said simply, you will know them by their fruits. Discernment is a good spiritual gift. It does take thought and application and a good worldview, but this is easy stuff, guys. We will know them by their fruit. What is the fruit of this insane climate cult? Decades and decades and decades of false prophecy that has actually damaged people, that has actually destroyed economies and led not to the flourishing of human beings, but actively worked against it, working towards a globalist scientific scientism, technocracy. That's what this has led to. That's the fruit of this. And what do we see with Anthony Fauci? Decades and decades and decades of failure, a false prophecy. We need not then be afraid of these fools. And we ought to go about doing what the Lord says, and that is hold these people accountable. Stop bowing to them. Stop being afraid of their influence and all the clout that they have. Push forward and show them for the frauds that they are. And that's why we needed to do this episode, even though we didn't plan on doing it. Because this sort of behavior has to be exposed. We need to use serrated edges when it comes to dealing with false prophets and prophetesses like Anthony Fauci and Greta Thunberg. This is despicable stuff, and we need to call it out for what it is, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about the strong language. And I've said this many times before, and I even mentioned to someone, I made a comment on social media earlier. I think someone, I'll call him out, Michael Corn, one-time evangelical, now I think failed Roman Catholic who's pro-LGBT, might be Anglican, I don't know, whatever. He's a mess. He's a mess. And he mentioned something where he said, you know, I can understand Christians who may disagree with affirming LGBT, but why the angry language? Why so angry? And I commented, I said, because when we're dealing with wolves and false teachers, we don't put on the kid gloves, right? The biblical model for us is that false teachers, false prophets, wolves who harm the people are not to be treated with gentle care and sugar kindness. Right, they are actually to be treated with strong language and open mockery and ridicule. And if you are uncomfortable with that, then you're uncomfortable with the model we see in the scriptures. Because Elijah told the false prophets of Baal, listen, cut yourselves harder. Cut yourselves harder. Scream harder. Maybe your God's on, maybe he's on the toilet. Maybe he's having a nap. Right, that's not very kind, winsome language.
Likewise, Paul told the Judaizers to if you're fond of playing with knives, why don't you just cut your member off?
Forget about just the foreskin; cut the whole thing off. That's what the apostle Paul
said. Go all the way.
Or Jesus, what Jesus says to the religious leaders, like you're a bag of snakes. You're like disgusting cups on the inside that look beautiful. You're tombs full of dead man's bones. Mm-hmm. You are false shepherds, and you like there's open mockery of the enemies of God in the scriptures. This is the model. And so I'm not saying we talk to everyone this way, nor do we talk to the average citizen. But these false prophets, these false teachers, these wolves who are destroying lives, who despise the church and who are coming against people, and that includes the people of God, that our approach to them needs to be a open in the public square mockery and scorning and shaming and strong language to not only show just how wrong and false they are, but to show how absurd their claims are, to put a big red clown nose on their face so that, like the scriptures say, don't be afraid of them. Mm-hmm. When we speak the way that we do to these enemies of God, we actually... We put a big red nose on them to say you don't have to be afraid of them. They're not scared. You don't have to be paralyzed and petrified by their claim.
And that's how we that's how we love our neighbor, because we can now see them for what they truly are. We can see them outwardly in the same way that God sees them on the inside. And that's why exposing false prophets in the midst of a culture is so very, very important. And that's why we exist on the program, to expose the false prophets in our society. And we're not partisan in doing it. We'll call out the conservatives for being false conservatives, for not letting a nomination from a good Christian man in Oxford County, Garrett Van Dorland, stand because he's too pro-life. He has a history working for CCBR as an intern. He's too much of a Christian. They won't let it stand. We'll call them out, just as we'll call out all these cultists, all these leftists that we're seeing in our culture. And that's why we need your help, because we need your help to continue to build this institution, to continue to push back against all this nonsense, and continue to bring the receipts that no one else is bringing you in the way that we're bringing you as it pertains to this false eco-catastrophe, eco-apocalyptic nonsense that we're seeing here. And we can hold not only the climate doomsdayers, but also the science experts that have led us so poorly in the last 3 years over the pandemic to account for what they did. Guys, we don't need to fear. We can be bold as lions because we abide in Christ, who is the truth, the way, and the life. And we can, you just have to let the truth out, and the truth will devour falsehood. And we should be those who are not afraid to do just that, because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.